You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power Radio Program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Praise the Lord, here we are again for Wednesday, May the 10th. And look, we've been having a wonderful time pinch hitting for my friend, sitting in for Victory International Praise Ministries, 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida, where the pastor is Teresa Robinson and the overseer is Thomas Robinson. We're sitting in for him. Their Sunday morning service is 11 a.m. and their Bible study is Tuesday night at 7:30. Well, Kingdom Sounds is the radio broadcast for Victory International Praise Ministries. And here we are again. Amen. I am Bishop Dr. Michael E. Daniels, and I am sitting in for my dear friend, and we are in Palm Bay at Greater New Destiny Worship Center of the Apostolic Faith, where I am the diocesan bishop over in the state of Florida, where I am assigned by God's grace, amen, for the Shield of Faith churches out of California. We are a worldwide ministry, and we ask for your prayers. You're looking to connect, or you're looking, amen, for a godly overseer, hit me up in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to turn your attention to my good friend and Apostle Graves, who will tell you about his ministry and what God is doing with him, as they said, on the road to Emmaus. Amen. Did not our hearts burn within us as this man of God has been teaching for the last 3 days? So take it, sir, and share with us.
Amen. Apostle Ricky Graves, amen. Spirit and Truth Ministry.
Yes.
Wife is Brother Graves, amen. We're located in 450 Bunyan Road, Coco, Florida, 3292. It's a privilege to be here. Just to share. Prophetically, I love it. We're a prophetic ministry. We're a ministry of deliverance. That's another one of the things. This is a very important season. God, and I need to hear this before I get into this prophetic thing. In this season, we try to get on this line and say things that positive, but some things positive can sound like a negative. God is changing prophecies in this season. Prophets, amen. We used to run to churches and we hear a prophet, but in this season, we're going to be running away from churches.
Mm-hmm.
Because a true prophet is going to show up and tell us that you need to get your life right. True prophets are going to get away from material things and start talking about people's souls and their life. So when the prophet come in, they say, we're going to start cleaning our life up before we go before them, because we're knowing that God is going to tell them things that we're hitting, that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the men of God was sharing, or some things that we're doing in God's pulpit. And God said, I'm coming to judge the church. Samuel said, He judged Eli, the church. His first prophecy was a just manner rebuking prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am, and it was okay for me to go ahead and go.
Go ahead,
amen. First Samuel chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. This is when Samuel came on the scene and God had him rebuke Eli. Samuel means God has heard, or heard by God. God has heard what we done.
Mm-hmm.
the things that we're doing outside his will. He had heard it. He ain't just seen it. He heard what we're doing. Okay, Eli means elevated offering. So Eli has an elevated spirit. Sometimes we get in a level of elevation. We think that we can sin any kind of live any kind of way. I'm trying to make this. Accountability is responsible for fulfilling one's duties and obligation. Amen. Biblically, it means being with, taking responsibility of one's own action. Making conscious choices. Accountability is discipline. His two sons had no discipline. One of them means fight with fists. The other one means to abhor on a brass mouth. So and I like that because what was their stronghold? What was their stronghold? Greed and lust. Have creeped into the church.
Yeah.
Ooh, I ain't gonna, that's too much. I'm trying to leave that alone. So Eli would not restrain them. He heard everything that his son had done, all of Israel, how they had laid with the women's who assembling around with the doors at the tabernacle at the meeting. They laid with them. These was women that was consecrated to do the temple. And they perverted them. Ooh, see, y'all got it.
My God.
And he said to them, why do you do such thing, evil dealing with the people? No, listen here. His son, even though he did that, he heard the report and he told them about it. Guess what he didn't do? He spoke to them and he warned them. If one man sins against another, God will judge. But if a man sins against God, Lord, who would intercede for him?
Let's just deal with that. And I'm going to put this to you in a question. Does that happen today?
Yes, sir.
Where the men and women of God who have children in the house of
God. There we go. We're going there. You're going the right way.
I'm going. And that damn charge is going to happen today. We do not deal with their sin, but we deal with everybody else's sin.
You're getting a little ahead of me, sir. You're getting ahead of me, but go ahead. You got to slow down. Don't get ahead of me. Yes, sir. I ain't trying to interrupt, but you're getting ahead of me.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I love what you said because if you go back to chapter 1, you will see that he dealt with Hannah worse than he dealt with his kids.
Go ahead.
He was speaking in the spirit, praying in the spirit. He said, you've been drinking. Because what he called, you're drinking, you don't want to be drinking and coming. He would call her a wicked woman.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he wouldn't even deal with his son and call them what they are. He would not deal with his own household like he did with strangers. Go ahead, man. Go.
Because of the fact that this is blood and I'm going to protect mine. Hallelujah. I will protect mine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You and I, we have a medicinal, spiritual relationship.
Yes.
And that's good enough for me. But when it comes down to flesh and blood, I'm protecting my household, even if they are wrong.
Come on.
Do you not know that when you set yourself up to not deal with sin, forget relationship, sin is sin. And when you do not deal with sin, it corrupts the whole house. And people will see it and will say, you know what, I'm out of here.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I like this. I like what you said because listen here. So we just, nevertheless, they did not hear his voice when he warned them, his father, because the Lord desired to kill them. Listen here. When I researched it, the Lord desired to kill them. They have passed the point of no return. The only thing was coming in their life was judgment. Listen here. If we don't correct
our iniquity, our, I got to put myself in clothes because I'm part of the body. I can't just be a part of the body when everything going good. I got to be part of the body because I'm a leader too. And some of us, we making these mistakes of family things. So I'm not leaving myself out. So things that I had to correct and I had to sit some folks down in my churches because of some things that they was doing.
You're still setting people
down?
You mean shut them down?
Set them down.
They still doing that at church.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you how powerful that is. Sitting down is not a bad thing. Wait, why you say that, Pastor? Because when I sit you down, I can cover you. My God. So when you sitting down, now you're in a place that you've been corrected and you've been in a way of being rebuked. But guess what? You're humbling yourself under me or under your shepherd. So anybody come to attack for whatever you've been doing, they got to go through me. I'm standing guard. Because guess what? I'm going to correct you, but no, I'm going to stand for you because God's grace and mercy is still there. So when they come to you, they got to come to me. Why? Because I'm your leader. And look, I love this. Look, never let that in here. So it's a part of the iniquity that we can get past God's grace. And they don't want to hear this. God didn't let them hear his father. God could let them hear their father and turn. God said, I didn't want them to hear it because I want to slay them. Why he wanted to slay them? Because they continued to do it. He warned them to continue. So God said, no problem. Listen here, leaders. If we don't correct them, don't mean God's judgment is not going to come on them. Oh, wait, I look. So the prophet came and warned them. But guess what? Eli warned them. He spoke to them. He warned them. But he never corrected them. What correcting mean, Pastor? They mean he should have kicked them out of the church. Here we go. Go ahead, Pastor.
You ain't gonna come out.
Wait, Pastor. One of my stepsons in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Going around with the women.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the house a couple and knocked on the door. You're not no longer to come to this church. You're not allowed. What do you mean? He said, but what about her? She's a soul. You represent us. You don't want to change? You can't come in this church no more. Never came again. Mm-hmm. Until he got married and came back. So we got to, why? Because that had been, God is holding us leaders accountable when we allow to operate in our church. We have a problem correcting our own. God said before we can run his house, we got to run our own house. And if this is how you run in your house, you can't run God's house that way. See, I told my leaders, I said, listen, my job is spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
You got to discipline your kids at home, not just at church.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at home. So here, Eli wouldn't discipline his kid. And what happened to him? When he didn't discipline them, then that judgment came on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding every leader in this season accountable. I know I'm just a small little pastor in a little small little place, but listen to this small voice.
No.
I am warning you in this season that God is holding us accountable.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wait, Pastor, let me go on. Parents, God is holding you accountable at your house. Whoever in your house is accountable to you.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody in your house that's living in your house, God is telling you he's holding you accountable for how they're living in your house.
Absolutely.
If you live in my house, you will pay tithes. You live in my house, you will be going to church.
Mm-hmm.
You live in my house, you will be praying.
Mm-hmm.
You live in my house, you will. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But see, when I got so relaxed with our kids, we don't know why our kids became our friend.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. The parents thing is gone. I did an integration yesterday Sunday. I said, listen here. I put a towel down. I said, listen, but your kids, when they small, yeah. But when they get older, they become their own adult.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Pastor. So guess what? They're going to go and get their own life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hurt some mothers right now, little feelings. I may hurt some father's feelings right now. The most important relationship in a family house is the husband and the wife.
Mm-hmm.
The kids have look at us and dictate what we do.
Mm-hmm.
If we fussing and cursing, that's how their life's gonna be when they get their family.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not forgiving, they're gonna have a hard time forgive. We are the one that set the way that they live. You hear that? But what happened to us? Some of us, we're doing so much for our kids and neglecting our marriage. And then guess what's going to happen when your kids grow up and go? You're gonna wake up and you're going to look around, going to be just you.
Preacher, some people are going to say, you done gone from the word to meddling.
Come on, sir. Come on, sir. Can I just finish this? I like that. Let me go ahead and finish mailing. Let me go ahead and mail it. And know what's going to happen? You're going to call that daughter or that son, and because you're lonely now, and you're going to call. They married now. They got a family, right? And you're going to call them and say, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to hold you in the middle. Say, wait a minute. I got to go cook food for my husband. What? Yeah, I got to go, mama. I'm a wife. I got to take care of my family.
Yeah.
So here you sacrifice your marriage.
Yes.
And now they're going on with their marriage.
Yes.
You better be obligated to what? You better be right obligated to your husband, like, and make him first. Because the everlasting life, I know you're going to, it's your husband and wife. Y'all sitting, this, y'all together forever. Kids going to leave and come and go.
Absolutely.
Pastor, but here, I'm trying to get back. I don't know why I went there. You took me there.
Go ahead. You took me there.
I'm going back to Eli. We got to hold our kids accountable. If your kid's not going to obey your rules, you got to do just like God said, do it at the church. Open the door and say, you go find you somewhere else to live. And I tell you, when they go out there and find out how hard that word is, they're going to come back with correction.
Let me say this. I want to get back to the setting now.
Go ahead. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And the reason why I say that, I'm with you.
Yes, sir.
There are pastors that will not correct. And what people realize, when Bishop, you ain't never mind sitting down. Oh, yes, I have.
Amen, amen.
And it was one of the life-altering things in ministry for me. Because I learned some things. But today, you talking about setting somebody down, they won't pack up and leave your church and say, I'm out of here. Because you wrong. Your wife wrong,
yes,
your children wrong,
yes, sir.
They cannot stand to be corrected.
Amen.
And it's going to take a God to show them you're wrong, you left wrong, you started your ministry wrong,
come on,
you did everything wrong because you were hurt, because you didn't want to do right.
Amen.
You thought that everything evolved around you.
Come on, man. Come on.
When actuality, I have sent pastors.
Come on.
Jeremiah 3:15. That's going to teach you and guide you and lead you. But when you thought y'all were just freeing, you disrespected the office.
Come on, man.
And now because you disrespected the office, you thought you got a pass. And when you thought you got a pass, and when he corrected you in the office that I put him in, now you don't like that.
Listen, I got to jump in a little bit because listen, leaders, and listen, elders, ministers, teachers, whatever level you have when you are sitting under a pastor. We got to be very careful how we talk to our leaders.
Yes.
You can bring a judgment on your life for how you disrespect your leaders. God will let me know, God said, don't matter if they how they talk to you, it's how they talking to me. So God will let me know that they bring disrespect will bring a judgment on your life. So if you did something against your pastor, this is your season to repent. Because God said, I'm coming to judge the church.
Yes.
I'm coming to put the church in order. And not, a lot of people got excited because of God. Oh, yeah, God need to get the pastor. God's coming to get you, too. Because you have disrespected the pastor in the way that you talk to them, the way that you react to them. And God say, touch not my anointing, do my prophet no harm. See, the problem with us in this season, we think that God's anointing can be ran over. But listen here, vengeance, God, pastors don't take vengeance. God is the one that revenge us. Listen here, the way that you talk to pastor can get you in a position that you will never want to be in. Because God says you must honor your leaders. You must honor them. And listen here, in this season, we as pastor get so many words said to us that sometimes we like, wow, you just, they come to point, pastor. Sometimes I think they get the point that they'll curse you right out.
Yes, they will.
Like we are not even men of God anymore.
Absolutely.
They would just and think that nothing ain't come upon them. But God said judgment come upon them.
Absolutely.
Thanks to God. Because see why? Because God know his, God love his, love everyone, but his leaders, he knows what he got us for, he put us for. But when, and now you come to what? To disrespect his leader in this season? God said, I'm not, I'm coming to judge the house. Not just the leaders, but the laymen that have disrespect you. See, the problem is, Pastor, we don't understand. No matter what you, if you said something and you think that you did it wrong and you got away with that man of God, you didn't get away with God. Could God hold his leaders precious to him, just like he hold you? And God, how many laymen has done broke our hearts? How many laymen has we done did everything for them, and the next day they say they leaving the church? Could we do it? No. Then I done found out, God said, when you do something out of God's heart, it's always going to come back to you good. Listen, so whatever you sow, weep. So you never can take advantage of the church. The one that think they take advantage of the church, you didn't. You can't take advantage of the church. If God tells us to do it, and we still get repaid back what we're supposed to do. Guess what I done found out, man of God? Guess what I done found out? The most powerful thing you can do in this season is be a person used to answer somebody's prayer. Man's a God, we ain't getting blessed so much that we get mad because we answer, God use us to answer other people's prayer. Because see, some people don't just need a prayer, they need some physical things. Yes. And God use us to answer prayer. The most powerful thing you can do in this season is be used by God to answer prayer. What happened, Pastor? You in a place that you're gonna have everlasting blessing in your life, everlasting seed come in your life because you are a giver. God only gives seed to a sower. Some of y'all that God told you to do something, but you done got caught up in your way and your attitude. I'm not giving them that. And because they did something to you, this ain't between you and them. It's between them and God. Yeah. God say, answer their prayer. My blessing. Listen, we ain't got much time to go. Listen, I answered a prayer years ago. Pastor, a bishop, answered prayer. I paid this man light bill that I know he couldn't stand me. He didn't. I don't know something about me. You know what? Some folks just don't like the anointing. I don't know what it does. So, Pastor, I did it. And I was in tears because I knew this man didn't like me. The first house I got, I was walking through in Rutledge, walking through it. And I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, because you gave that $400, I gave you $600.
Yes.
I fell down to my knees with tears.
Yes.
My God. God said, because you answered that person's prayer, I bless you more than you can imagine.
I call it being a channel blessing.
Yes, sir.
Because God channels, hey, the blessings through you to certain people. And it is up to you to release the blessing.
Amen.
Because what happens is God will remember.
Yes,
the scriptures say God will remember.
That's right.
Remember.
Yes, he does.
You
yes,
need
does.
God to remember some things in your life.
Yes.
When God, now I need you to step up. No, God is always stepped up.
Yes.
He just want to remind us, just like the man of God you're talking about.
That's it.
When we stay in God's word and discipline the house,
there is a
thought process that I have. That deals with Adam. I'll leave it alone for now. As my good friend, Overseer Robinson said, I'm going to leave that alone for now.
Yes. We're in a season, and this season, God is telling us, spare not the rod.
Yeah.
You spare the rod, you're going to spoil the child.
Yes.
And this season, God's telling us, we need to stop allowing and start giving some restraint in our leaders. And their lifestyle and how they're living. Restraint in the season gonna come. That restraint gonna save them. You're allowing our kids in our house to do what they want, say what they want to us. And God is taking us back into order. And orders is coming in the house. Hear that? Orders is coming in the house. And this is gonna be some hard. It's gonna be kind of hard for some parents to let your kids go through something. Amen. Because they what happened? They go through something, do something wrong. We save them. And God said, in this thing, we don't let them go through something. God said, who I bless, nobody curse.
Mm-hmm.
But who I curse,
mm-hmm.
nobody bless. Sometimes we blessing a curse.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Getting pearls to a swine. Oh, mm-hmm. This is going to get real tough right now. And because we get in our emotion and don't ask God before we do it, because emotion, and naturally it looked like we should do it. But did God may have that person in a test or a trial right now, mm-hmm. and we trying to be God.
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes it ain't that our heart don't want to give, but it's a sometimes that God say don't touch that. Go ahead, man.
I gotta say this. Go ahead. Before we close this, mm-hmm. sometimes we create the monsters.
All the time, Pastor. Right there. We do create the monsters.
And prophecy didn't tell me that. That angel ain't told me that. Can I use the ain't? I'm using it today. Yes. We create those monsters when they are little elephants in the house. And by the time the elephant is big, we can't put him out the house.
Too big.
Because we created those monsters. And now can't nobody talk to him but you.
Just you.
Because they won't listen to nobody else. You have spoiled them in the house of God.
Yes, you have.
Now they're preachers, now they're ministers, now they're evangelists. Look, I'm gonna shut this down right here, but you get the point. And we thank God today and for these 3 days for allowing us to pitch it for my friend at Victory International Praise Ministries, where 250 North Babcock in Melbourne, Florida, with Pastor Teresa Robinson and Overseer Thomas Robinson are the pastors. And Sunday morning, you will find them there at 11 o'clock and Tuesday night at 7:30. So we thank and praise God. I am Bishop Dr. Michael Daniel, and this is our friend Apostle Graves, who have been here for the last 3 years sharing, 3 days sharing,
Amen.
Feel like 3 years.
Yes,
and we
good.
Thank God for what he has said and what we are doing. We bless God. Amen. And amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 a.m. Tuesday night Bible study starts at 7:30 until 8:30. For more information about our services, the telephone number is 321-358-7455. You have been listening to Kingdom Sounds of Victory International Praise. Our email address is vipministries@att.net. Once again, our church address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. With the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. 3 months ago, an 11-year-old sixth grader at a public school in Maine read a passage from a school library book to the local school board. It described a sexual encounter between two teenage boys. When he found the book, the school librarian asked if he'd like to see others like it or if he'd like to check out the book's graphic novel edition. The boy's father, who also spoke at the school board meeting, was not nearly as calm as his son. Like many parents around the country, he demanded that school officials remove all books with explicit content from his son's public school library. Now, this story is, according to many of the loudest voices in our culture right now, part of a quote-unquote dangerous trend. Recently, the American Library Association announced in emergency that a record-breaking 1,269 requests had been made in 2022 to remove books from libraries. Quote, "Each attempt to ban a book," said the director of ALA's Office for Intellectual Freedom, "represents a direct attack on every person's constitutionally protected right to freely choose what books to read," end quote. Now, a closer look at the statistics here tell a different story. As columnist and editor Micah Maddox recently pointed out, 1,269 book removal requests among some 117,000 public libraries is not that many. The real headline here is not an immediate crisis of book banning, it's just how little people are reading these days. Moreover, about 60% of these requests were made to libraries in public schools. Ask